Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC.
The White Sox Talk Podcast is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs from coast to coast. For more information, you go to their special White Sox webpage and read all about it, www.wintrust.com/Sox. All right, Chuck Arfine here with the one and only Chris Kampka. And, you know, you can look at the standings from 2018 and easily see what the White Sox record was, or not. You can just avoid it, too.
Yeah, you could pretend that the season was a 90-game season and they had 62 wins, so therefore they were 62-28.
Yeah.
If you want.
If you want to. You have that choice. But we also can dig deeper into what happened, which is what I wanted to do with you, Chris, and maybe unearth some things that, well, I don't want to say that you didn't know because you seem to know everything, but certainly White Sox fans didn't know, or did you find some things that even surprised yourself as you researched for this podcast?
We'll have a little bit of both. And, of course, I would assume you have a few gar finds, wouldn't you?
I do have a couple of gar finds. I think we're going to bring that back.
Yeah, that's a must for sure.
For those wondering what we're talking about, that's basically me in the ballpark during the game finding things.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck's season of, you know, ballpark reporting has been phenomenal. I mean, he really dug in there and find some good stuff. I mean, so the game results weren't as good as you wanted, but you cannot argue that they were not entertaining broadcasts for sure. With Chuck, Jason, Steve, Hawks last go around, it was a fun season to watch in that respect.
I wasn't ready for the season to end, I'll tell you that. And I do have a couple of Garf finds, and they're prospects that I want to talk about who did a couple of amazing things in the minors who deserve some recognition, and their names are not Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease. So that'll be the minor league part of it, but you've got stuff you want to talk about in the major leagues. So without further ado, by the way, you just heard the intro for the first time.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's very Soxy. It has a Sox flavor. It's customized. It's got, you know, it'll take you back to watching games. It gives you the fix that you need for the White Sox, the sounds of White Sox baseball, even though there's no games to be watched.
Well, we all need some Sox in our life, and this is what I'm trying to provide on a bi-weekly basis, by the way, every Tuesday and Thursday during the offseason, podcasts for all of you. So here we go. White Sox Talk Podcast. Let's do it.
White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That ball hit deep, way back. Deep to left field.
Holy cow. Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark.
You can't put it on the board. Yes.
We got a chance for something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, so, Chris, what do you want to start with? Who do you want to start with to begin the buried treasure of the 2018 White Sox season? What can you reveal to us that, you know, enlightens us about something that happened that you may not have expected?
Well, let's start at the top of the order, right? Yoán Moncada is our leadoff man for most of the season. So there's a few things here and there about him. Five leadoff home runs, tied for the second most in White Sox history in the season, behind only Ray Durham, who had six in 2001, which is great. But it wasn't all great. I mean, he was the first player in Major League history with 200 more strikeouts than home runs in the season, 217 to 17. There's going to be growing pains along the way. But we did see, you know, in September, 301 with a 369 on base percentage and 103 plate appearances.
His first and last months were really good.
Right, except no home runs in September. So that was a little concerning.
Yeah.
So it's a good and bad, right? So prior to I'm cutting it off at August 17th. So prior to August 17th, he hit 160 with a 248 on base percentage against lefties. But after that, he hit 331 with a 391 on base percentage to finish the season against righties.
No, I knew it was good. I didn't know it was that good.
Yeah, so he's 14 for his last 42.
That was good.
So, yeah, I mean, there's something. There's good, there's bad.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to have that. He's still really young. We'll see where we go. I mean, he was tied for this third most hits with the bases loaded. When he had bases loaded, he had 19 plate appearances. He hit 471, 8 for 17. Only six players had eight or more hits with the bases loaded last season. We have Xander Bogaerts and Jose Peraza with nine apiece. Moncada, Adam Duvall, Scooter Jeanette, and J.D. Martinez, who was 8 for 10 with the bases loaded.
You know what?
They had eight.
What surprises me about that is that Moncada had that many opportunities with the bases loaded. Not only leading off a lot, but on a team that didn't score that many runs.
Yeah, he got them, and he made good. In fact, he hit for the cycle with the bases loaded in 2018 with the White Sox, meaning, of course, the whole season he had at least a single, double, triple, and homer. It's been 10 seasons since we've seen a White Sox player do that. Carlos Quentin did it in 2008.
Yeah, see, I think what you talk about here, this is what I think Sox fans need to focus on more than the strikeouts.
Because everybody focuses too much on the strikeouts.
Yeah, those are going to come down. How much are they going to come down? I don't know. But when this guy makes contact, you see the damage that he does.
This is a kind of a bizarre way to put it. But, all right, so everyone's complaint with the strikeout is it doesn't move runners over. But if he's hitting leadoff, there's no runners to move over. So who cares? I mean, it's a weird way to look at it. It's not the best way to look at it.
It goes both ways.
But you can say that.
Yes.
I'd like to see him go lead off maybe full time next year. I would put him right back up there. Honestly, I would. I think he is the best on-base profile of anybody on the White Sox roster, and you want on-base at the top of the order.
Okay, got another guy you want
to pick. Okay, let's move on to Palka, right?
Daniel Palka.
Okay, so Palka, he had 27 homers. He led the team despite missing the first 20 games of the season. And he didn't make his major league debut until April 25th. And there's a lot of games where he didn't play after that, too.
That's true.
I mean, it was a little bit of a platoon thing. He has the most homers in the season in White Sox history with a season of fewer than 450 plate appearances. He had 449. So, I mean, whatever. But still, he was pretty promising. In fact, in September, 8 homers and 10 walks. He wasn't walking barely at all beginning of the season. He had a 333 on base percentage in September. If he can do that and put up that kind of power, I like what I see. I think it's sold, right? He's going to get a chance to get a starting lineup next year. That power is real.
Yeah. It is funny that you mentioned the walks because ever since I sent out the tweet that compared his numbers to Kyle Schwarber, for the season, and I was getting hammered for the on-base percentage. I'm like, you know what? He just needs to walk a little bit more. And then he started walking.
But the thing is, it's so close. If you eliminate the walks, I mean, the home runs at the same rate, doubles at the same rate. Like, he had half as many doubles as home runs-ish in that area. So did Schwarber. And if you look at them through the first 100 and whatever games, 110, 120 games, they're almost identical except for the walk totals. It's crazy.
And you can't even just throw out the walk totals because that is a thing.
It is. It matters. It definitely matters.
But right. But for a guy who is supposedly, you know, this World Series hero and has this, he might have had a bad year for him as well. But then you compare him to Palka, who was a rookie, an older rookie, but someone who was not even on anybody's radar to do what he did, I think that says something.
And if you watch 2018 White Sox baseball, you'll know that adding walks to your repertoire can be done. We'll talk about that a little later.
Okay.
Palka had the only two homers by a lefty off a lefty for the White Sox this season.
Ooh.
Only two.
Okay.
Tied for the major league lead with six homers in the ninth inning. Kipnis.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Kipnis, Smoke, and I want to say Giancarlo were the other ones.
Yeah.
They had six.
They're not always clutch.
I mean, and always take into account that if you're ahead, you're not going to hit in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
But still, you got to, I mean, if you have the chance to do it, you do it. And Palka did it.
Yeah. I mean, a guy who did not play the first few weeks of the season, platooned for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a lot of ninth inning at bats, and he had six of them. That says something to me.
Okay. AL rookie record, four pinch hit home runs. That's an American League record for
that
a rookie.
That is not easy to do.
It's a White Sox record for anybody.
For anybody. Wait, so that is the record?
It is the White Sox single season record, rookie or veteran. It's the American League rookie record for pinch hit home runs.
Okay, so that's incredible. I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, just think of what it takes to be a pinch hitter.
Yes.
I mean, you go in there, you're not playing, you're not in the rhythm of a game, field or DH doesn't really matter, and you just go in there cold and hit a home run. I'm impressed by that.
When you do it once or twice, I don't want to say it's luck, but that could just be, it just happened. But when you do it four times, I think that shows, to me, a lot more about the hitter.
Oh, yeah.
That he can excel in a difficult situation. The toughest thing to do, I think, to do as a hitter is to pinch hit.
And think about it. When you're going in as a pinch hitter, you're probably going in a critical game situation. Yes. You're not going to waste a pinch hitter if it's getting a blowout, really. And oftentimes, you're going to be in a critical situation late game, probably against a pretty good relief pitcher, more often than not, I would think.
Yep.
So there's that. Good. That's Paulka. Speaking of Paulka, he had the highest exit velocity of any White Sox hitter of any ball this season. He had 118.4 exit velocity on a double on June 5th. Now, to put that in perspective, there were only 13 batted balls of 118.4 miles an hour or more. Giancarlo Stanton had 10 of them. And then you had one each by Paulka, Aaron Judge, and Gary Sanchez. So
yeah.
It's a pinstripe thing, apparently.
Who else you got? Okay. We can do Paulka all day, but I want to.
No, let's. We might revisit Paulka a little
okay,
later.
Okay, then save
maybe
it.
Not.
Save it.
Okay.
We've got, about 15 minutes.
Let's talk Davidson.
Okay.
Davidson's one of three players in Major League history with at least three pitching appearances and 20 home runs in a season. Okay? It's a little less impressive when you figure that one of the other ones was another 2018 guy, Shohei Ohtani. But the other one was a guy who's pretty known in baseball history, Babe Ruth, 1919.
Okay.
So, like I said earlier about the walks, his walk rate went from 4.3% to 10.5%, like 2.5 times his walks.
That doesn't happen on accident.
I mean, I really give it to Davidson for who does that. It's not a very common thing for a guy to just draw that many more walks. Although we saw Todd Frazier do it. But
something clicked with him. I don't know what exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying stuff before the season of, well, I'm just not going to swing at bad pitches like I did last year.
He did it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's easier said than done, but he did it.
So
for the most part.
So we all know he dominated at Kauffman Stadium. He had more homers at Kauffman, 7 in 32 plate appearances, than he did at Guaranteed Rate Field, 5 in 240 plate appearances, which is pretty insane. It really
what
is.
What did he slug at Kauffman Stadium? That had to be like 900?
It's probably 1,000-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be right there because it's 28 total bases on the home runs alone.
It
had to be over 1,000.
Let me look it up and you can continue on with what you're doing, unless you're speeding Gonzalez.
One more. I got another Davidson here.
Okay.
He was the only one to pitch for the White Sox and not allow a run. So you had that. I mean, they really have to take a look at this Davidson pitching thing. It sounds crazy, but if you can afford it, and why wouldn't you be able to afford it? It's not you're not taking an extra roster spot.
Honestly, the way the game is going, this is going to be in demand.
Here's the only thing that I can imagine maybe being an issue with that. Say if you're another young reliever for the White Sox and you want some reps and they're giving it to Matt Davidson.
Of a course of a season, though, you can find spots.
Right. I'm not agreeing with that.
I'm just
throwing it out there as like a devil's advocate. It's possible.
You know what? He would have pitched more, I think, or could have pitched more, I should say. Could have pitched more if his body was ready for it. Because that first game that he pitched in, he was like his arm was like not ready to go back out there for a couple of weeks. But if he's training for it, they can use him more.
Absolutely. Then you could be a little more. You don't have to worry about usage and worrying about overusing a guy. You can throw him in the mix. It's really something. I'm serious. They should really consider that and look into it. Plus, by the way, this season he struck out two guys who combined to hit 57 home runs this season. Giancarlo Stanton hit 39 and Rougned Odor hit 18. So those are guys who could hit home runs.
That's amazing. Okay, here, by the way, Kauffman Stadium.
It was over 1,000.
Oh, man.
Like,
all right. He slashed at Kauffman Stadium, and this is in 7 games, 32 plate appearances, 462, 563, and he slugged 1.308.
I mean, 1.308.
1.308.
So it's not just over 1,000. It's 1,000 plus another 300, which is absurd.
And by the way, at Wrigley Field, in 3 games, he slashed 375, 500, 1.125.
Yeah, because he hit 2 homers there. Yeah. And it took him a long time into the season where he had more homers at Wrigley than he had a guaranteed right field
for a
while. Moving on.
Yes.
Tim Anderson.
Okay.
All right, so consider this. Only the 6th season in White Sox history with 20 homers and 20 steals. You know, pretty good. Here's one that kind of draws in Moncada. Tim Anderson and Yoan Moncada were tied with a team lead with 132 strikeouts swinging.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Think about that for a minute. They were tied with 132 strikeouts swinging. The difference was Moncada struck out looking 85 times, which is 29 more than anybody else in the league, and Anderson just 17. So that breakdown is pretty crazy.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about that one.
It's just, it's kind of like, how do you interpret that?
Yeah.
I think a lot of White Sox fans, get frustrated with it.
Well, I'll say about 20 of them were borderline.
There were a lot of borderline.
Yeah.
Ones, absolutely were. I kind of think that I like him. I like the batting eye. I'm so hesitant to tell him to knock that off, you know?
No, and they're not telling him to knock it off. But But what he needs to do with 2 strikes... At 2 strikes, you got to swing.
Here's the deal. I think down the road, when he develops a reputation for not being a huge strikeout guy and being a little more of a veteran,
that's part of it too.
He'll get the benefit of the doubt in more and more of those. He should hang in there.
Because you know what? It's a human game.
It is.
For the most part.
And
the umpires, they know what's going on with Yoan Moncada and the strikeouts. So I'm sure there's a part of it. Oh, that's Yoan Moncada strikes out at that pitch. I'm calling that a strike.
Yeah.
No umpire will probably come out and admit that. But once that reputation is out there.
There's reputation there. Sure,
yeah,
there is.
Yeah.
I think it's promising in that way. It sounds weird, right? 85 strikeouts looking. Oh, my goodness. There's something
in
the batting eye.
If it was so many more strikeouts swinging, that means he's like clearly not even seeing the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is... Well, I think that's a ball.
I mean, listen,
or he could also be fooled at times.
Let's chop off 30 strikeouts next year, 187. Yeah. I can live with that as long as the production's there.
Right.
Because, let's face it, he's only 2 players in Major League history with 200-plus strikeouts and fewer than 20 home runs, the other being Drew Stubbs in 2011 for the Reds. So that's, I mean.
Yeah, we don't want him to
but
be
let's,
Drew Stubbs.
You know, I'm not going to harp on that too much. He was a veteran when Kaz Young. Omar Narvaez.
Yes.
Okay? Would anybody have imagined at the beginning of the season, if you were to rate the White Sox by weighted runs created plus, which is something that it's a judge of offense, which 100 is league average, any point above is 1%, 2% above, right? He had a 122 weighted runs created plus. That's 22% better than league average. Led the team with anyone with at least 300 plate appearances. Would have anybody imagined Omar Narvaez lead the team in an offensive production stat like that one? I sure would.
I don't think anybody on the planet would have predicted that.
No. I mean, and so let me give you a few. Abreu is at 114, 14% above league average. That's how you read that. Polka, 109. Davidson, 104. Those are your guys over 100. You had Moncada at 97, 3% below league average. Mm-hmm. Avi Garcia at 92, Yolmer 87, Anderson 85. Just to kind of give you a gauge of where they are. Omar Narvaez, 122, led the White Sox in 366 on base percentage.
Yes, I was going to bring that up.
Fueled that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And from 64 games from June 7th on, he hit 323 with a 409 on base percentage, wow, and 521 slugging.
And he was basically playing every day.
221 plate appearances. That's not peanuts. That's something. So, you know, I mean, we're looking at what are we going to do with catcher?
I know.
You got Wellington Castillo in the mix, you know.
Kevin Smith wasn't so bad.
Right, he wasn't. And then Narvaez making his push, it's kind of hard. You can't, you know, you got to have him back. I mean,
I still can't believe we are having a conversation about the White Sox and having too many catchers.
And that's fine. Let's push the issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Zach Collins is on his way.
And Sebby Zavala had a good year, too.
Yeah, I would think Zach maybe September call-up, possibly, if all things play out right.
We might be talking about Zach Collins later in this podcast.
I hope we do. I like Zach Collins. All right. So
we got a few more minutes, so, okay, so give me your best stuff.
This one's fun. The longest White Sox hitting streak of 2018 was over a 69-game span.
Hold on. Let me guess this. Oh, it was Avi Garcia.
Yeah, it was. Okay. Chuck figured me out right away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
April 22, 23, then he was injured, came back June 22nd and July 4th.
Wow.
Hey, boy, it was over fire. A 69-game span.
He's on fire.
That's record.
Yeah.
All right. Couple quick ones. The longest White Sox home run of 2018.
Oh. Well, it had to be Palka, right?
It was Avi Garcia, 481 feet, April 3rd in Toronto.
481?
Yeah, I don't know what that goes through with the Canadian exchange rate, but I think it's still pretty high.
Was it indoors?
I did it in feet. Yeah, it was indoors.
It was indoors.
The fastest White Sox pitch of 2018. Who had it?
Oh, let me think about this. Well, okay, I know it wasn't Kopech. Fastest pitch. Oh, Vieira.
No, it was 100.1. It was the only pitch that went over 100. So that's 99.9 counts as below. So we're talking literally 100.0 or more. Bruce Rondon, April 8th.
Oh, that was his first game,
April 8th. I think you're right. He struck out four guys. He faced four, struck out all four, and you figured maybe we found something. And
yeah.
Just the wheels fell off.
Yeah, I remembered saying, I think I tweeted this, if this is the Bruce Rondon of 2018, the White Sox have a major, major steal and completely changes the dynamic of this bullpen.
No doubt.
And then.
And speaking of the dynamic
that
of the
didn't
bullpen,
happen.
Let me give you one quick pitching note, and then we're on your yes. portion of the thing. Yeah. Jace Fry was one of eight lefties in 2018 with at least 50 innings and 12 strikeouts per nine innings. Only eight lefties did it. Aroldis Chapman, Josh Hader, Chris Sale, Brad Hand, Tanner Scott. Jace Fry was six with 12.27 strikeouts per nine innings. Will Smith and Robbie Ray. I mean, if you look at his numbers, if you dig below there, don't look at the ERA. It doesn't tell you the story. Look at the FIP below three. That means his peripherals, his strikeouts, walks, and home runs, things he can control were very good.
Okay.
Look out for Jace Fry in the bullpen in 2019.
All right, a couple major league stuff. The White Sox hit four less home runs in 2018 than they did in 2017, from 186 to 182, but they went from 25th in the majors in home runs to 16th. That surprised me. With all the home runs being hit, they hit less, and yet the ranking improved immensely.
There was a lot of home runs, but I think all the other scoring in the majors kind of tailed off a little bit. A telling stat is, I believe it was 56 1-0 games in the majors last season.
That's a lot.
There were only 29 in 2017. Yeah. I want to see 55 or 56, so that's something right there.
All right, and listen, the big elephant in the room with this team is they had by far the most strikeouts. They set the major league record. They were the second least in walks. This has to improve.
Oh, no
doubt. I mean,
doubt.
No doubt, and significantly. So I don't want to, you know, we've said a lot of positive stuff here, but this is something that they have got to address and fix, the strikeouts and the walks.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're talking on both sides of the plate here.
Yeah.
They've allowed the most walks, and they had a very low strikeout rate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the strike zone. And look out pretty soon. I'm going to be doing a piece on that. Look out, White Sox Talk.
Yes. You have a little column, a little, we don't have a name for it yet. But
it's in the works, but look out for that. It's coming.
Okay. So here's what I want to bring up from the minor leagues. I want to talk about Luis Gonzalez at Winston-Salem.
I do too.
Well, he was in Kannapolis, but when he got promoted to Winston-Salem, now granted, he was a little older than the guys in Kannapolis, so he goes to Winston-Salem where he's basically playing with guys his own age, and he excelled. With a runner at second, he had 30 at-bats, and he slashed .533, .588, .767. When he had runners in scoring position, 69 plate appearances, he slashed .435, .451, .652.
Well, I think we could take it back to Reggie's when we did the live podcast, if you remember. Somebody in the audience asked, who is the under-the-radar prospect, right?
Yes.
And everyone went through, and then it was my turn, and I said Luis Gonzalez, and then Rick Hahn said, he stole mine, which meant it was the correct answer.
That is the correct answer.
Luis Gonzalez, he was very impressive this season. I like what I saw.
Okay, one last thing, because they are taking over the studio, and we got to get out of here. Zach Collins had 101 walks, which led the Southern League. 101 walks. The next person in the Southern League in walks had 82. After that, 68. So he had 101 walks. The third most walks in the league had 68. He had the second highest on-base percentage in the league at .382. He did have the third most strikeouts, but he's got a great eye. That'll play up here.
Let me add to that. I checked this late in the season. I don't have a full season one. I will go back and double check it. But when I checked last, Zach Collins was third in all of baseball. If you throw the minors and majors, mash them all together, all the levels, third in baseball walks this season behind Mike Trout, Bryce Harper.
Wow. All right. Zach would like to know that.
I'm going to follow up on that. I will be tweeting that out.
Yes.
Hopefully I'm right.
And I will retweet that. That's good stuff. Chris, thanks for the knowledge.
All right,
as always, that was very enlightening and saved some stuff. I'm sure you have a lot more you didn't even get to, but we'll do this again. And this was the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. For more information, go to the special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/sox. Hawk Harrelson, do the honors.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.